Tuesday, April 5th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, there is a column in the Washington Post. It's called Ask Amy. A recent letter was sent in to Amy Dickinson, who is the author of this column. Dear Amy, our son and daughter-in-law, married for about 6 years, recently dropped a bomb on my husband and me. They told us they are involved in a polyamorous relationship where each has another partner, lover, or person they each spend a lot of time with outside the marriage. They tell us that this lifestyle is becoming more common. They're in their mid-30s and don't have children. They may have eased their consciences by telling us this, but now we are left with troubling and unsettling information and no place to go with it. We assured them that we will never stop loving them, but this is awkward for us. What can we do to ease our troubled minds? Signed, Bewildered Parents.
Amy's answer is going to be, your mind shouldn't be troubled. This marriage thing is what anybody wants to make it. That's basically going to be her answer. We get a moment to peer through the looking glass into the, quote, brave new world that is headed our way, unless the Lord brings revival and a gospel awakening. The continued movement of the progressive secular culture, which is really a retrograde movement back into the morality of neo-paganism, it seems to be unstoppable. The only thing that'll be able to stop it is the power of the gospel of grace at work in the lives of men and women and its restraining effects in society. Marriage is just now seen as another can of Play-Doh. We can pretty much fashion whatever we want at whatever time. And by the way, we just want to let you know so that you can process this. And then the response is, we feel awkward. Well, with all due respect, it's not just awkward, it's wrong. But where we are in neo-paganism is you establish your morality and then you create an ethic in order to affirm that morality. So now if we want marriage to be between multiple people, or if we want to call it a polyamory relationship, whereby we don't have a covenantal commitment of fidelity to each other, what we do have is an opening up of our lives emotionally and physically and sexually for people to come in and out of anytime they want it, as long as they uphold our end of the bargain, which we can come into their life anytime we want to, psychologically, relationally, emotionally, and sexually. It is the denial of the covenant of marriage. It's not a refashioning of it. It is a denial of it. And why is it that they feel the necessity to share that with them? Why is it that you feel like it's awkward? Well, here's the reason why. It's wrong. It's not my right and my wrong, or your right and your wrong, and we have to put up with each other's rights and wrongs. There are the channel markers of life that are ethically determined by the law of God. Morality is the behavior to conform to ethics. But in neo-paganism, morality becomes the foundation to create new ethics. For instance, instead of sacred sex within marriage, because everyone is having sex outside of marriage, we create a new ethic to teach in our schools and in our counseling departments called safe sex. And we even redefine what safe means in order to accommodate the sexual revolution.
Harry, to that end, Amy Dickinson replies to these bewildered parents, you may define marriage as monogamy until divorce or death, but as people explore their freedom to redefine the boundaries of what it means to be married, they may choose, quote, ethical non-monogamy.
Freedom is having been set free to live within the ethical boundaries and the ethical declarations of God's law. It's ordered liberty. It's not anarchy. What she is saying is, unless you choose a religious life, you're actually free to define marriage any way that you want to. You now have to learn to live with their quote-unquote freedom, which in reality is not freedom. In reality is autonomy. It's what the Bible calls in the book of Judges, every man does what's right in his own eyes. What does that bring? Well, go read the book of Judges. That brings judgment. It came every 40 to 80 years, as sin brings its own judgment. There's something to remember, that when we do that which is wrong in rebellion against God, it brings God's judgment. Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God is revealed. And how is the wrath of God revealed? Well, it's revealed in time now by the judgment of sin itself. Sin brings its own judgment. You break God's law, then God's law breaks you. Then there's also the judgment then. That is the judgment seat and the casting of those apart from Christ's saving grace into the judgment of everlasting condemnation. Ethics is not something that each generation invents. Ethics is what God has revealed and declared right and wrong, and the foundational document, of course, is the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, that clearly says you shall not commit adultery.
Harry, interestingly, Amy again responds to what you've just said as, quote, unless you and they are religious, this doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it what is.
So what she is basically saying is there is no such thing as an ethical paradigm to which our lives are to conform. If you're religious and you want to accept religious dogma about marriage, then that's fine. But if you don't, that's fine also. That's just what is. You can have any relationship you want to. There is no objective right or wrong. There's only what you determine to be right and wrong. And then the insidious and impossible and absolute sublimely ridiculous notion that we can have a society without ethical parameters. In other words, everyone does what's right in their own eyes.
Amy ends her response by saying, this is their life and their choice. If they want to remove the taboo surrounding polyamory, you should discourage them from defining this as a deep, dark family secret, bound to be awkward until it isn't.
Well, it's not simply awkward, it's wrong. And because it's wrong, there is always a conscience reaction, and that's what they are trying to overcome now. Why did they come and tell their parents this? They're looking for approval of what is unapprovable. This isn't just about them, as I would say to Amy. Their behavior is going to impact any children. Number two, it's going to impact parents and their extended family. But most of all, and this would be my deep plea to them, it will impact you. And as Romans 1 reveals, the culture of sexual promiscuity and sexual perversion, whereby we attempt to shamelessly embrace sin in rebellion against God, not only brings God's judgment, it actually is God's judgment. And then secondly, there is the judgment to come. Tom, that very rebellion was the life that I was living in opposition to God, and the grace of God that came through the lives, the words, and the consistency and the persistency of godly men and women and Christ's church being on mission, on message, and in ministry saved my life. And because it saved my life, I have a privilege of serving Christ in this life. I have a 50-plus year marriage. I've got 3 children that love Jesus and who have godly marriages. And all of that happened because Christ's church continued to stay on mission to bring the gospel to me, the clear message of Christ's truth, and through ministries, it discipled me so that I could grow in grace. This story, which affirms again that we are in the midst of a spiritual war that's being fought out within our culture, is a call once again for the people of God and the church of God to stay on mission, on message, and in ministry so that God's people again become the salt of the earth to restrain sin and the light of the world to lead sinners to Christ. And that's what will lead to the consequence of the landscape of life changing. To Miss Amy, I say clearly, the problem is not that this is awkward and they need to get over it. The problem is this is sin and they need to repent of it. And there is a God who has loved them, who gave his son so that they could have everlasting life and know the joy of Christ. Instead of seeking the meaning of life in the cesspool of sinful rebellion, you can be washed with the water of the word and the blood of the lamb for everlasting life.
Pastor Harry Reeder's series, 7 Essentials for the Christian Family, will help equip your family to experience life triumphantly in Christ. Harry covers developing a heart for the home, what about singleness, 10 practices for biblical parenting, and what about divorce, marriage, and remarriage. This sermon series, 7 Essentials for the Christian Family, is available by going to briarwood.org, the number 7, and the word essentials. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.